Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Well, I think that this was in the context of the exiles. It may well have been written by David, but under inspiration, these psalms were rewritten and reapplied at the time of the exile. And there's another such psalm in Psalm 44. And there in verse 23 of Psalm 44, you read, "Wake up, why do you sleep, Lord? Arise, don't reject us forever. Why do you sleep, Lord? But he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." So there is the impression that God is asleep, as it were, that God is there but is not paying attention. But that is only an apparent appearance. And those words in Psalm 44:23 are, oddly enough, pretty well unintentionally quoted by the disciples when they're in the boat and they think they're about to drown, and Jesus is with them and apparently sleeping. And they said, "Wake up, Lord. Do you not care that we perish? Why do you sleep?" Well, was he sleeping? Those fishing boats would have been open boats on the Sea of Galilee, which was fairly small. Was he really asleep when the boat was so tossed around that they were about to capsize and drown? Was he really sleeping? He was maybe giving that impression. He may well have been in prayer for them, maybe not for the storm, but for them, and for their spiritual growth through what he was going to do. And so it is with God. He can appear asleep, but the ultimate truth is, as here in Psalm 121, verse 4, "He who keeps Israel does not slumber, nor does he sleep." And so there is an apparent silence of God. There is an apparent distance of God, but that is only apparent. I said that this is, I think, appropriate to the exile, and there is similar encouragement in Isaiah 62, verse 1, where we're told that God will not rest for Zion's sake. Now, during the years of captivity, especially when the 70 years came to an end, and as Daniel says in Daniel 9, "Look, the 70 years are over, why aren't you acting?" Well, it appeared that God was, as it were, sleeping, but he was not. Even through that apparent silence, he was working. And so, God is never still. He is not at rest. And when we looked at the story of Ruth, I suggested that that also had been rewritten for the exiles. Boaz, we're told, would not be at rest until he had redeemed Ruth and Naomi. And so God is not at rest either. Although apparently his purpose does not immediately go forward in visible, incremental sort of steps, he is not at rest. And even when there appears to be a silence, he is at work. We can't attach directly meaning to event in our lives, nor meaning to lack of event. But that doesn't mean that God is not at work. He really is at work for us. And I think part of the reason for that is that what's going on is that God may be preparing the ground for his next move. And that takes time, because God is not a manipulator. He's not forcing people to do things. He is a collaborator. He works and, sure, exaggerates, if you like, the free will decisions and attitudes of people, but he collaborates with human beings because he respects human free will. So God will never be at rest for his people. And we're told, as I say, in Isaiah 62, verse 1, that God would never hold his peace for his people's sake. And then Isaiah 62, verse 6, "And we should not hold our peace for them. We, in our prayers, should give God no rest," Isaiah 62, verse 7. Doesn't mean that, oh, God keeps dropping off to sleep and you've got to keep nudging him in your prayers. God, by his nature, does not slumber nor sleep for his beloved. But realizing that is how he is, that he is a sleepless God, we likewise are to likewise be constantly in contact with him. Giving him, as it were, no rest, that's just a figure of speech, because God himself does not rest. He does not hold his peace, for his people's sake, even though there is this apparent silence. He is at work clearing the ground for the next stage. It's rather like looking at a building site. It might appear that there's very little progress visibly to the casual eye that glances over the site every now and again as you walk past it or cycle past it or drive past it. But the guys are working there and the drainage is being laid and this, that and the other is being done. And then suddenly progress starts apparently to spring up. And that is how it is in our lives. There are these periods when it does appear that God is silent, but he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, because his intention is to do us good in our latter end. His intention is for our salvation, and he is working tirelessly, sleeplessly, to bring that about.